Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Hard Tack and Coffee. This is your host, Matthew Adams. And this week we're going to talk about a topic that is relatively well known about Civil War armies and stuff, about desertion. But this one is discussing two specific areas of desertion during the Civil War with General Robert E. Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia. Lee had orchestrated two grand invasions of the North, one in the fall of 1862 and then one in during the summer of 1863. Now, however, during both invasions, there seemed to be polar opposites in terms of desertion and straggling. In this show, we'll discuss the differences between the two campaigns and how desertion played a role during both campaigns. Now, General Lee always faced an enormous problem with desertion and straggling in his army throughout the entire war. However, during General Lee's first northern invasion, the Maryland campaign that culminated in the Battle of Antietam or Sharpsburg, was the worst problem with desertion in his army. His army was almost near the brink of destruction due to desertion and straggling, and it would never face that problem again until the retreat to Appomattox. Well, let's talk about the first northern invasion. Well, the problem was that Lee had decided to invade Maryland on September 4, 1862. Now, this was a radical idea of going and taking the war to the Union in Maryland and trying to get Maryland on the side of the Confederacy and also try to gain some European recognition. However, what Lee did not take into effect was that the campaign for Second Manassas, the Battle of Second Manassas, had just ended on September 1st. So Lee's army only had 3 days rest before they began invading Maryland. Now, this was a serious problem for Lee's army because from June until September, Lee's army was almost in day-to-day combat from the 7 days campaign until Second Manassas. Lee's army was bone tired. His men were exhausted for having to fight hard and march hard during those few months in the summer of 1862. So Lee did not take into account that his men were thoroughly exhausted. And also, too, during that campaign, many of the troops who are not able to have been resupplied properly, many of them were barefoot, their clothes were in rags. There is accounts of when they invaded Maryland, the Union sympathizers in Maryland could smell the Confederate Army before they even got there for lack of hygiene and lack of ability to take care of themselves because of no possible way of being given supplies. Now, with that, most of the men had not eaten very well in the recent months because Northern Virginia had been stripped bare of most of its natural resources of crops because of the Union Army being there and the Confederate Army being there. But Lee had decided to go into Maryland to give the Virginia farmers time to rebuild their farms and harvest what little bit of crops were left. And he figured that getting food and fodder from Maryland had been the perfect idea. However, at that time, the Confederate Army called this the Green Corn and Green Apple Campaign because the Confederate Army was forced to live off of green apples and green corn during the time they were in Maryland, which was not very good for their digestive system. And that was another reason for desertion and straggling because many of the soldiers fell ill and could not continue the march. Also, too, one of the factors of desertion for Lee's Army during the Maryland Campaign was many Confederate soldiers did not feel that invading Maryland and trying to get Maryland to join the Confederacy was the right idea for Southern independence. Many private soldiers and officers felt that in order to gain recognition from a European power was to actually be on a defensive, say that the Union forces were invading the South and they were trying to defend their home. Many people felt that the Confederacy invaded the North, that all their hopes and dreams would be dashed because they're saying they're the invading army. They're the aggressor. They're not trying to defend themselves. So a good many soldiers simply said, I'm not going to invade Maryland. There is no sense in us doing it. In fact, only 3 days after Lee had started the invasion of the North, he wrote a letter to Jefferson Davis stating, and I quote, one of the greatest evils is the habit of straggling from the ranks. It has become a habit. Day one of his Maryland campaign, he had to face the problem of straggling. Now, when Lee invaded Maryland, he had roughly 50,000 men left in his army from what an army of almost 95,000 in June. But by the time he had gotten to the banks of the Antietam Creek to fight off McClellan's forces at South Antietam, Lee had barely 30,000 men in arms ready to fight. So take into effect that over 20,000 of his men simply left the army and said, I'm not going to invade the North, or either they were too tired to even invade the North. However, with that, Lee's army, the cream of his army, was able to hold off the Union attacks at Antietam and was able to safely withdraw back into Virginia, where within a couple of months, most of the men who had deserted or straggled marching to Maryland had rejoined the ranks, because they felt that defending Virginia was the main cause. Now let's fast forward to the first of the summer of 1863. Lee had just won the greatest victory of the war for the Confederate cause about Chancellorsville. Now, after about Chancellorsville, he had decided that another strike into the North would bring the North to its knees to get the war to be over with, and also to draw troops out of the western department of the Confederacy away from Vicksburg, and also give time for the Virginia farmers to harvest their crops and to bring in more substance for the Confederate forces. But Lee changed his plans a little bit. Battle of Chancellorsville was fought in early May. Lee did not begin his invasion of the North until early June, which gave his army a month's rest. It gave wounded soldiers time to recuperate and rejoin the ranks. Plus, also, Lee called up thousands of troops from the Carolinas and Georgia and Florida to bolster his ranks to prepare for what he hoped was the final battle against those people, the Union. Also, too, Lee's army was better equipped and better clad than previously during the Maryland campaign. There were still soldiers that were barefoot and stuff like that, but most of them were very well dressed with clothing. Most of them had captured much equipment from the Union Army, and they were able to march together as a unit. They were, after about Chancellorsville, the Confederate Army was its strongest in morale and esprit de corps. Actually, a British observer, Colonel Arthur Fremantle, stated that they were the best equipped army he had ever seen, especially since most of their equipment came from Union captures. He couldn't believe the fact that most of the cannons the Confederate Army had U.S. symbols on it. He felt like the Union was pretty much giving the Confederate supplies. Also, another factor in the Gettysburg campaign that limited desertion and straggling was many of the soldiers and officers felt that one more battle, the war would be over, that Lincoln's government would quit. They felt that one more battle, and many of them believed in General Lee when he said that one battle on Union soil, one Confederate victory on Union soil, would bring peace talks between the two nations. And many soldiers believed that. They marched into Maryland and Pennsylvania happy and heartily. They were able to get more food than they ever imagined, and they all had the confidence and morale to win. Now, straggling was present during the Gettysburg campaign, but records do not show how many had actually straggled compared to nearly 20,000 that had straggled when Lee's army invaded Maryland, because many of the soldiers were better equipped, better armed, had decent food. Many soldiers believed in Lee more than what they did during the Maryland campaign. They felt that after Fredericksburg, after Chancellorsville, and now they had completely outmarched the Union Army of the Potomac into Maryland this time, not even into Pennsylvania, not even into Maryland, and made it as far up north as almost Harrisburg, the capital of Pennsylvania, without much opposition. Now, Lee took almost 90,000 Confederate soldiers into Pennsylvania during this campaign. 90,000 men. Now, most of them were non-combatants, teamsters, cooks, and stuff, but he still had an enormous manpower. Now, when he started beginning to battle Gettysburg, he had roughly about 80,000 men to fight with. But with those 10,000 missing from when he started campaign, you also got to factor in that Lee had left some men in the Shenandoah Valley and also in the Maryland to guard his supply route. He still depended on supplies coming up from the Shenandoah Valley into wherever he was at in Pennsylvania. They actually had running mail service going to the Confederate Army during this time. When Lee was retreating, he actually ran into a wagon train carrying mail that was meant for his soldiers. Now, in comparison between the two, there was straggling and desertion, but however, when Lee invaded Pennsylvania, his army was an army of professional soldiers. They were still volunteer soldiers, but they had become an elite fighting unit. Many of the soldiers, even if they were barefoot or either they were hungry, they would follow Lee anywhere. They felt that if they fought one more battle and it was a major Confederate victory, they could destroy the Army of the Potomac once and for all. The war would be over. Many of them felt that this invasion was bringing the war home to the Union. Still had the idea of defending their home for foreign recognition. However, by this time, with the Emancipation Proclamation, many Confederate leaders felt that foreign recognition was impossible, that they're going to have to win this on their own. And Lee's invasion of the North was hoping to draw federal troops out from Virginia and from the West to guard Washington and all the major northern cities. That didn't work out according to plan, but it was still a noble idea to try to gain southern independence. But Lee's army stayed intact compared to the Maryland campaign, where he had to fight almost to the death to keep his what was a little bit left his army alive at Antietam. But at Gettysburg, he had the core foundation for one of the best armies in the world, where straggling desertion had almost evaporated completely because of their devotion to Lee. Now, however, on the retreat back from Gettysburg and the preceding and the months after Gettysburg, desertion started picking back up because many soldiers felt that Gettysburg was the actual high water mark, that the war was starting to die down a little bit, that they were starting to lose, because not only was Gettysburg lost, Vicksburg had also fallen the day after Pickett's charge. They felt that the fortunes of war were turned against them, that there was no real sense in having to fight, and that the war was coming close and close to people's homes, especially in Alabama and Mississippi and Tennessee and Arkansas. Most of those states were now under federal occupation, and soldiers in Georgia were starting to feel a little heat from Union presence. And also soldiers who lived in western Virginia, who the Union Army was running a rampage through what was now then West Virginia. So when it comes to desertion and straggling during both northern invasions, the Maryland campaign was the worst with straggling in Lee's army. And in this historian's personal opinion, Lee's invasion of Pennsylvania that culminated in the Battle of Gettysburg was Lee's best opportunity to keep his army together. And he was able to keep his army together going up to Gettysburg and falling back from Gettysburg. Not many troops deserted or straggled during that campaign compared to the Maryland campaign. I hope you've enjoyed this show, and I hope that next week you'll join me and discuss another topic, and I will choose a topic this week and have it posted, and I will see you next week, hopefully next Monday at 11:30. Thank y'all, and y'all have a great afternoon.